Butternuts, and welcome to this week's episode of Observations with me, your host, Sovereign Sire. I am brought to you by the good people, or not so good people, at julieland.com. And as always, I'm here with Mr. Dick Avery.
Hello, hello, hello. How are we today?
I'm amazing. I woke up just full of sunshine and sparkles. Well, I rode here on a fucking unicorn.
It's like 80 degrees
which
outside.
Which was challenging.
It's summertime.
I know. It's kind of awesome and terrible at the same time, because I live in Highland Park, so we don't have AC.
I went to the beach yesterday.
And you can go fuck yourself.
I have had so much fun.
Today with me in the Sov Pod is Chris Fairbanks.
That's me. That's my name.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
I like you have like very Fairbanks hair. Yeah, like you have a kind of coif situation that's very it's very appealing visually.
It creates
I'm like, oh, you could be like an actor, a Fairbanks.
It looks okay, but if you touch it, it's rock hard. Well, that's I never liked that.
Like
joke.
He's already making dick jokes.
That's not I got so angry when I will recognize when a that's what she said moment comes out, but I will never and I never did say that.
Okay.
Did you know that's from from Wayne's World? It's from a Wayne's World sketch. And everyone's, oh, it's from The Office. And I'm like, no, I remember my mom dressing up like Garth for Halloween, holding drumsticks and saying that's what she said all night.
Yeah.
And I finally found the episode of Wayne's World on the SNL episode where he said, oh, I'm holding it. That's what she said. That's a joke. And the fact that for 5 years people were saying it after every, oh, I have a delivery for the back.
But you know,
I'm so glad it's over.
I thought you had nothing to say about anal.
But that's the funny thing about joking. You have to think about how many catchphrases the SNL invent. Like a billion of them.
It's just not a lot of them then are credited 20 years later on another show. Like everyone thought that it was from The Office. But
no,
it's from Wayne's World, you guys. So get with the times. The old times.
Do your research.
It's good to be here. I live at the beach.
Where do you live?
Right on Washington.
Specific address.
Towards the bars at the end of Washington Boulevard.
Is that in Venice?
Marina Del Rey.
Marina Del Rey. I don't know. I'm not from here.
It was so nice.
Oh, you're in.
Was it not nice yesterday?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Especially over there because it's not as sweltering.
Yeah, no.
Marina Del Rey, that's air. Far. That's like
it is
a,
far. It's been bad for my career. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go do stand-up tonight because it would take an hour to drive there. So I'm just going to sit in my house. That's not a good, that's a...
There's a porn girl that lives in Marina Del Rey named Chanel Preston. And she's like, I remember the first time we were coming back from, we were all up in San Francisco at kink.com together at the Armory. We're, you know, it's like a communal thing. Everyone gets done with their shoot. We've all done crazy shit for the past 3 hours. And then we all get in a van and we drive to the airport together. And that's when we all talk about like, what did you do? Where are you going? What's going on? You know, it's a very surreal kind of moment. It's like, I was just suspended by ropes and electrocuted for an hour. But now I'm going to go home and cuddle my dog and go on a date. And she was like, I'm being flown to Marina. It's like, she was going to a different airport. I'm like, why are you going to a different airport? And she's like, oh, well, I live in Marina Del Rey. And I was like, why?
Wait, she flew into like the Santa Monica airport or something?
I think she was flying into LAX, whereas like we all fly into Burbank
because
most people live in the valley. So
it's those discussions in the van to or from an airport that are why I started my podcast, because the people want to talk. It's never about electrifying the inside of their... What happened?
I did a site called Electro Sluts where it's a girl-girl site. I mainly do girl-girl work. Mm-hmm. I do work with guys sometimes, but it's a site where you are... you do your BDSM is done with electrical implements as opposed
I just went in because I saw a leather... It looked like something that band Living Color would wear. It looked like a body glove suit, but it was just suspenders, like a leather daddy... Uh-huh. Power bottom guy or top, I don't know, the mustachety muscle type gay dudes. And so I went in there, I'm like, I want that. I want to wear it. But it was like $400. But then I was drawn over to this case that had, electric things that you like put in your urethra pee hole.
Oh, sounding instrument. Urethra sounding instrument.
I know what I would sound like. the sound of screaming.
Yeah, electrostats is a weird fetish.
The guy was like, it's pretty intense. And you're electrocuting your
You're doing all sorts. Yeah, they have all sorts of crazy things that they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me very nervous.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I've had surgeries like that or procedures, just urethral, anything where they.
Right.
You know, they had to.
Isn't that how they test you for like gonorrhea and stuff? They put like a big Q-tip in your.
In the old days, and then after a while, one time just as a preventative measure, this girl I was courting said, "I think I have gonorrhea," and I was like, "All right," and I went and I just said, just give me the shot. And it was funny because the doctor was going to put it in my butt. And I said, let's put the gon in gonorrhea. And then he laughed and he like stabbed me in the back with a, he missed my butt and he had to like redo it because of my hilarious gonorrhea joke.
I'm gonna quote you on that tweet. Let's put the gon in gonorrhea.
Out of context. No, it never gets a big response. But from a doctor with medication.
No, I get it.
By the way, my results came back and I didn't need that shot. I was sans gonorrhea. So why am I leaning for? Okay,
it's no. Like it's
Mike's
like,
in my hand not, and I lean. Yeah, forward.
It's like the first time I had a prostate exam. I just called my porn star friend and said, "Hey, I just did my first anal scene," and she's like, "Well, congratulations." I was like, "I don't know what the big deal about this. It's not. I didn't think it was all that big of a deal." And like, you know, it's like. Didn't. Well,
there's a difference between a finger and Manuel Ferrara.
That's true.
It's a big
difference. Don't get me started on Manuel.
It is a big difference.
I thought I wasn't going to talk about anal this episode, like I've been on other ones. Oh, Manuel. Manny. Woo! He puts the man in man. Man.
Exactly.
In me. Can you tell me, so where are you from?
Tulsa, Oklahoma? No. I thought that's what you said.
Yeah, no.
Where are you from? I'm from Montana. Azula, Montana.
I like Azula. Wow. That sounds like the name of a woman I would have sex with. Azula.
Not with Z's. Like Missoula, like a belly dancer lady. No,
Azula.
It's like Missoula.
Missoula, but Azula.
People say Z's, but it's...
S's.
It is S's, but you're pronounced them Z's.
I've been to Montana one time. It was for a wedding. It was the best wedding I've ever been to.
Because
they invited the whole town. There's like 150 people in the town. The whole town shows up. And it was the best, like, it was weird. I'm like, I go, who's coming to the wedding? They go, the whole town. I go, what do you mean the whole town?
Yeah.
They go, we invite everybody.
I like events like that.
Yeah.
Where the mayor's there.
Yeah. Like, everybody was there. Yeah. Like, how do you do that? Like. Can you imagine going to New York City? All right, I'm inviting the entire city. Come on down.
No, that would be quite.
Did you? How
traffic.
Were you? How long were you there? Were you?
Born in Monterey here, and then.
So that was an amazing, auspicious beginning.
Yes, then, yes. Had I stayed there, I would have become a sculptor who makes dolphins, or
you could have been like
perhaps,
Jack Kerouac.
Yeah.
Or work for Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He, my dad was a radio. Disc jockey, and there's a movie called Play Misty for Me. And as I recall,
Clint
Eastwood went and watched him do radio, and he's like, oh, okay, I got it figured out. It's like a Fatal Attraction type movie.
I've seen it. Radio right. I've seen it.
And that was in Carmel. He was the mayor.
I grew up in the Bay Area. I know it all too well. My cousins lived inside the 17 Mile Drive in Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
Oh, that, man.
I almost hit Clint Eastwood with my car one time.
That's an amazing story.
He was playing golf.
Did you say right turn, Clyde? I'm going to come up with real specific every which way but loose jokes. It's a movie that no one's seen.
I've seen it.
He drove around with an orangutan.
I've seen it.
The orangutan would punch people. And Juliette Lewis's father was in it.
That's right.
Yeah. Anything that is needless to know.
Was Sandra Locke on that?
I got it.
No, I'm like that, but with history.
Yeah.
I'm like 2 in the morning. I'm like, hey, do you guys want to know about the history of the Mansard roof? Like, I'm going to break that shit down. And they're like, no, bitch.
I know about, you know, history is good. I know about movies that no one's seen.
Me too.
And who was in them.
That's me. I always say I'm IMDb up here.
Yeah.
Like the weirdest ones too. I'm always laugh at myself. Like, how do I know that? Like, why do I know that?
There's a combination of IMDb and ADD called IMDD. I think there's a joke there. I messed it up.
So how long were you in the Midwest?
Is that considered
the Midwest?
You know,
Montana
is good question. Yeah, it's like. It's
you
the
don't
fourth
think
largest
of it that
state.
Way, but it is, right?
It's so big that I think the eastern edge of it, which borders the Dakotas, you know, would be considered Midwest.
I've never been.
But the western edge where I'm from, I consider Pacific Northwest because I'm elitist.
Yep, right. Well, and I saw you on Conan with like the sweater and I was like, that looks like a man.
That's
that has some strong leanings towards the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's because my brother lives in Seattle. He's an animator. Oh, okay. And I was like, that is a look that has tried to pick me up many a times at the microbrew pub
in Seattle on Capitol Hill.
Like
no,
that.
That was a Montana purchased sweater.
I loved it.
Thank you. I got to bring that back. Got to grow that mustache and grow that sweater back, too. Just bring it all back.
Exactly.
My career has really reached a lull. I'm like, I want to shave my face and be a boy again and make eye contact with women under 40. But now I'm just, no, but I'm not getting, you know, everything's dried up. No, my career's going great.
Lift it up, baby.
No,
lift it up.
I'm fine. I'm doing
diagnostically needs to read the room.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. No, I'm doing
you're the
great.
Entertainment.
Are you
this
kidding?
Is your show.
Oh yeah. God, honesty gets in the way of celebrity all the time.
No, we don't want any of that.
Excuse me. Sorry, I was distracted. I was just counting this money.
Yeah, exactly.
This money that I've talked
about. Do you always carry around hundreds like that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's my favorite denomination. Wait, that's church. I don't know. Right? I don't know.
It is. It's both.
It's both,
which is its own weird conspiracy theory shit right there. We should tweet that out.
That's funny. Yeah.
Have you ever considered that money and churches both use denomination to...
That's
established and
it'd be funny to go to Canada and just have like francs or something and be like, I'm non-denominational with my currency. You have to accept it, otherwise it's a hate crime. and then the cop will ride off on their horse.
I was just in Canada.
Am I doing this right? Did we have a topic? And then
topic was you.
Oh, okay.
And I think you're doing an excellent job of selling
so
yourself.
We went from Monterey, my dad went to art school, and then he had kids, and then he thought, well, I need to support these children, and so he got
a government job
assessing property and implementing real estate tax. But he's a great artist and a funny person too, so he always was really supportive of me doing that.
So yeah, you're an artist too, right?
Yeah, I like to draw and paint.
And you do like skateboards?
I used to do, that industry, like magazine illustration and
for
skate.
Who?
Or for Thrasher magazine, you ever hear Thrasher?
Of course.
I did something called Skate Coach.
I did a shoot way back in 1988 for the Vision Pro.
Oh,
skater.
Wow.
I don't know if you remember that.
I think I have it on VHS tape, yes.
You would if you
Big
did.
Big year
would...
for Ho Soy. Yeah, but then he got on some rowdy powder. And
I shot Christian, Tony, Staub. What's the Phillips? Like a bunch of guys that I think half of them are either dead or in jail. And Gator.
Jeff
Gator?
Phillips is dead.
Yeah, and Gator Rogowski I shot, who's in jail.
Yeah, he's turned
What's
out
he
being
for?
Really strange. Yeah.
What is he in jail for?
He
murdered,
he's like
murdered his
someone.
girlfriend's best friend.
A few, there's some, there's, it's the Vert Skate, the Vert Skaters at that time got treated like rock stars. They were making a bunch of money. There was only a handful of them. And then they all just bought drugs and...
Except for Tony Hawk.
he just became a businessman. He just was a little smarter. But Christian Hosoi is out of prison and he's a sweetie.
Now he skates for
He
Jesus.
Found God. A lot of... Jesus is always getting lost in prison. People have to go find him.
The good old days, though.
Yeah.
The 80s.
But if you have a void... Not me. I'm spiritually fulfilled with my own made-up. God's. Oh, we weren't supposed to talk about religion.
I know.
But
we're here.
No,
we just split the room.
So how old were you when you figured out that you like to make people laugh?
Oh, that was an early on. I think there are specific memories of making adults laugh. There was some people in my family that are like scary, maybe mentally unbalanced drinkers that were, everyone was 7 feet tall except me and my dad were 5'9", I don't understand. 5'8" now. I'm going out. I'm shrinking. But I remember making grown-ups laugh, and that was a way that they would pay attention to me. And so it was early on.
Yeah.
Like having like an uncle that made me nervous that was like always angry and then making him laugh. I was like, oh, okay. That's useful.
Yeah.
So did you Do you like immediately pursue a career in comedy and stuff, or did you go to college and like think you were going to have a very conventional job and kind of?
Well, I went to art school, and so I
okay. So
I
you
did go...
were committed to being a pauper.
I mean, right when I got my degree, though, I moved to Texas. Austin, Texas was a good comedy scene. It's different than the rest of Texas. We all know that. Yeah. Austin's a cool town. And I'd gone there with like my improv, my college improv group, and I just moved there and started doing stand-up and art at the same time. But I've kind of just been doing stand-up full-time. Art occasionally.
So were you able to make a living right away doing it?
Yeah, I've never had a real job, really. Oh, wow. Or I've worked at t-shirt shops doing art for people.
I've never had a real job either.
Yeah, I've just always been like freelance. It's the best way to do it.
What is a real job?
It's like where you have, I don't know, like a boss.
Where they, you show up every day and they take the taxes out and it's not confusing when you pay taxes. That's what I think.
It's like the job you have that like that is like absolutely nothing applied towards what you actually want to be doing with your time.
Right,
like,
right.
That would be a,
I've
like,
had
a, like a regular job.
I've had
job.
Writing jobs on like TV shows where you have a cubicle and it's horrifying to me. But it's nice to have steady income. It's amazing how my lifestyle choice to, you know, just get work wherever I can and be able to take months off if I want, which I've been doing. I just now realized. But
I took all of 2013 off. Like,
yeah, I think people think about that. You know, it's the grass greener. What? How's that saying? Anyway, it is appealing to me, the idea of like having a steady income or something.
I haven't had that in 35 years.
Yeah, I don't want to be a show up somewhere steadily.
I just don't like the idea of doing the same thing over and over again.
No.
It's like
that's kind of why
5 days a week.
I was getting tired of just doing illustration all the time because I'm sitting, and when I was young, I was like, maybe I'll be an animator like for Disney or something like you said your brother does. And I was like, no, I'll sit and get one of those flat office chair asses. It's all about my everything.
Do
in
you
my,
have a nice butt?
Oh, it's bubbly.
Is it bubbly and
claps,
round? And...
It claps.
Are we going back to anal?
I get jiggy.
I'm just saying, like,
if
your concern was not to have a flat butt, right. So my, like, was it proud and round? And
yeah, I think a lot of people in my... I don't have, like, a bubble-butted family, but I made it out with a decent... Like, compared... I've seen everyone naked in my family. All at once. It was for a Christmas photo shoot. No, come on.
People say all comedians are damaged. It sounds like you had a very close family.
Oh, yeah. Tightly like knit. Tightly everything. God, so, come on. That's... I go for those jokes.
You're a little too healthy, I think.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically.
Oh, no. I'm
emotionally.
Dying on the inside. Emotionally,
no,
I'm dead already. Yeah.
Like Errol Flynn.
Yeah. Just a classic kind of dysfunction where I keep it bottled up until I die at 40.
But what happened to that?
Because
I thought that was lovely.
What's that?
Just like the bottled in, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Have manners, you know, just like feelings, like, so like maybe you're sitting on your feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's like, I like the new version of that, I think, is like the cool girl. Like I'm like the cool girl. It's like, I don't have feelings. I have like, I like make the like furniture out of them. Like, I
Just
like shove them down. I like tamp them.
Yeah.
Form them into like a love seat.
Yeah.
Kind of just like, I fucking kick it.
Yeah. Compact like, it into a utilitarian piece of furniture.
Like I'm fine. You know, that's cool.
Yeah, I talk about my feelings way too much.
I just repress everything. My theory is I just repress it all and then ignore it and then just keep moving forward.
I think I started having...
That was an amazing comedy.
I started having violent... Like, I would imagine giving violence to people as a gift. And I was like, I need to just talk more about what I'm feeling. I've been trying to be more open about what I'm feeling.
But see,
so there's a leak.
I kind of was brought up with
like a slow.
Yeah, just a slow.
Like a pool toy that just kind of like very gradually.
Just a slow farting of my feelings.
But it's like, I always fall back to what my father told me when I was a kid. He used to always just say, it was like his little favorite thing to say was like, it just doesn't matter because 100 years from now, who's going to care?
Oh, right.
So like to everything, but I'm hurting. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
100 years from now. Yeah. Okay, well, then I guess, all right, nothing matters.
The old hey, kid, we're all going to die style of parenting.
That was my wonderful, like, it's the old, I always tell people, it's that old scene out of the first episode of Freaks and Geeks. It could always be worse. You know that scene where she's like, so, you know, my friend smoked. You know where he is today? He's dead. That was like my dad. Everything was like dead. Death.
Oh yeah, my mom. If you did that, you're gonna die. If
you're gonna,
yeah,
you're gonna play with firecrackers. You're gonna die. You're gonna do this. You're gonna die. Yeah, yeah. It was like scared the shit out of us. Everything was about death.
No, my dad was. He was a sense. He taught me to be in touch with my emotions. He wasn't really a bottler. I just did that on my own, I think, because I was punk rock and I was badass.
Exactly.
My dad was kind of like
grunge.
Yeah.
Sorry.
My mom was like the super worrywart. Like everything bad will happen. Like she would like anything. I'm gonna go jet skiing. Like there was a girl that came into the hospital yesterday. Face ripped off
by a
fucking jet ski.
By a jet ski.
And my dad, I was like, my dad adopted me when I was a kid, and he's Native American, and he is an artist. He had been a Navy SEAL, but then he left, went to school, became an artist, like super like the opposite of her. Uh-huh. And he was always like, no, like, let's go, let's get this swing up on the roof, right? Uh-huh. And then we're gonna like push you off. And just like he would do like this weird daredevil shit with me.
That's great.
Yeah, I was like, so I was like, kind of, but it made me very like ambivalent.
Yeah,
as a person, I was like, am I scared of dying or fuck it?
Yeah,
because.
But it was just that my parents was all about death. That was always about it was the extreme. It was never, there was no gray area. Everything was black and white. You either live or you're dead. There's like no,
yeah,
you get sick and you get healed. That didn't matter.
Yeah, and so when I was a kid, I was always worried about what happens when we die. And he's like, I don't think. Anything, but I believed in Santa Claus till I was like 14. They really celebrated Christmas. That was the time of year, and I'd seen him before, or it was an airplane. But my, oh look, Rudolph. I'm like, oh, that's tangible. I've never seen Jesus.
Oh wow, he really.
Oh yeah, and then I think I got beat up one day in eighth grade when I said Santa Claus was real. I don't know. So to this day, I'm like,
we always used to see him on TV on the radar. They used to do like. The newscast would always be like,
oh, yeah.
We got him on radar.
That's
Santa
adorable.
Claus is coming.
Yeah, small town.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, my God, he's coming because he's on radar.
It's fun. It's fun to get kids excited about Christmas. God, I can't wait for Christmas. Isn't it fun? I really do. I like it. I'm like the only, every year. I used to paint windows for Christmas, like Happy Holidays or Santa Claus.
Oh, my dad used to do that. Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Did he? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's not common.
Well, he's like, because he was kind of, I think, how as an artist, like as a writer and whatever, he was the one that sort of taught me that when you're always going to kind of have to have these weird independent odd jobs,
mm-hmm.
like if you're going to serve. But he's the one that kind of taught me there's no like pride or it's like there's no pride in sort of that in art you have to paint Santa on the window sometimes,
right.
But then sometimes you're going to paint the mural and like the biggest hotel in town, and
yeah,
that's gonna be this thing that'll be there for 50 years and have your name on it. That he kind of taught me that principle of like, don't get too bogged down in like the dignity of a job.
Sure,
like,
sure,
it's sort of all transient.
Yeah, that's my dad had that, even though he had a full-time government position, he always prior to that was doing in trying to invent board games, trying to design greeting cards,
yeah.
trying to yeah he went it he was like installing alarm systems in Oakland, and then he invented a board game called Alarm or something, and there's a real bell in it that would scare someone from an actual house, and he was like pitching this board game, and it was like, oh, and then the bell goes, and it was super loud, and all these Milton Bradley people were like, get the hell out with your loud ass bell, I can't get it to stop.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, like, trying to
that
do this
so good.
Break in, or it was it was in our garage. I'm like,
when
what
I
was that? Oh, a game I tried to make. But I like that.
When I was a kid,
like,
yeah.
When I was a kid, board games were serious business. We didn't have PlayStation, so board games are
right.
a big deal.
Everyone wants to make the next big board game.
Yeah, Life, Monopoly. Sorry. Exactly.
Sorry.
I still have those up here in my shelves.
Well, the irony is, I always had video games. But my mom used to get really upset about the video games. And what's funny now is that my brother is a video game animator. So
oh, is he?
It's like this weird, like, joke's on you.
Yeah.
Exactly. All of that was actually highly useful.
Yeah.
And now I survive by making video games and first-person shooters. Yeah. And, like, he does, like, first-person shooters for, like, virtual reality, first-person shooters for the government for, like, training, Xbox 360.
Oh,
like,
wow.
All that, you know what I mean? Like, all those things. Like, so it's kind of, to me, it's funny because it's, like, that was when we were younger, always playing that, my mom just being like, God damn it, I don't know why I bought you this. And, like, now that's how.
Yeah. Now he's buying buying her a new house.
Well, I wish.
Yeah.
It's a saturated market. Would you believe it?
Yeah, well, who would think? It's that popular.
But and board games are still out there to this day.
Yeah, my sister, whenever it's like during the holidays, she always wants to play a board game, and I'm always hesitant, like, but they're always fun.
Always.
You're interacting.
I think
family.
They're great. I love the game of life. Is my favorite.
You don't really hate people. Come on.
I like
you know,
you're like
no one who hates people.
You're peeling back like the hard veneer, like the crusty veneer.
I like board games too. Okay,
I
got you.
Back.
What do you play board games alone?
I love everybody.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
You found out.
Your Grinch heart is exploding.
You're a fucking rainmaker, dude.
Yeah. I've been thinking about being a therapist. Because those that can't teach. Right?
Isn't that? It's something like that.
It's funny, I used to. I worked for Fuel TV for a while, interviewing like snowboarders and skaters and stuff. And I was interviewing Sean White. He had some new video game that was like a snowboarding game. And I was playing it. And then snowboarding down the mountain, all of a sudden there's soldiers in the background with guns. And he's like, oh, that's a glitch. We used a template from a game like that your brother helped design.
Yeah.
It's like a first-person shooter template, and then they just put snow on it and made it a snowboarder, but still hidden in there were these glitchy Nazis like running through
amazing.
The hills. Yeah, I'll just snowboard around those Nazis.
It's Sean White. Sean White presents Call of Duty.
Yeah,
skating through a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah, a bunch of Sean White colon White Power.
Exactly.
The Nazi style. Come on, colon White Power.
Colon
spelled
anal.
Out. Yep.
So this was like really fun. So we should do another episode.
Okay.
But we should wind this one down by having you tell people where they can find you.
Oh, thank you. Plugs.
Yes.
Plugs.
You can find me at a place called Twitter, at Chris Fairbanks. That's my name. I have a website, chrisfairbanks.com, with my schedule. And that's about it.
No MySpace page?
I have an album on iTunes called Fairbanks! ! I have a podcast called Do You Need a Ride? And
where
that's
can
it.
Can I find that podcast?
That is at allthingscomedy.com. A network for the people. I don't think I just came up with that slogan. Maybe they'll pay me for that.
You should charge them for that. And I am, of course, Sovereign Sire, and you can find me at my brand new website, ilovesov.com. It's not totally brand new anymore, but it's still newer than other things about me. I'm adopting your delivery already. And you can also find me on Twitter, at Sovereign Sire. So sayonara, everyone, and I will see you at the next episode.